Now calling our attention this afternoon to six words from our reading, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. The Lord make you the increase. Are you aware the Lord expects things to be on the increase? Writing to Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In the second chapter of Colossians it is written, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. That's Colossians 2. And verse 19, I'd like for us to explore this afternoon some areas in which the Lord makes you to increase. First of all, the Lord makes you to increase your love. I begin with the text where it is written, the Lord makes you to increase and abound in love. He said, love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Just a chapter over. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he said, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God. Taught what? To love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, listen to this beseeching, that ye increase more and more. If the Lord would make you to increase in your love, it would result in all kinds of good things. It brings about, first of all, more acts of kindness. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. As well, it would result in more serving. As Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 tells us, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It would produce more unity. For Ephesians 4, 2 and 3 teaches, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And no doubt more needs would be met, as 1 John 4, or 3 rather, verses 17 and 18 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in him. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. But in addition to that, the scriptures point out another area in which the Lord make you to increase. And that is when it comes to your learning. Our learning ought to always be increasing. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will do what? Hear and will increase learning. How about you? Are you wise? In chapter 9 and verse 9, he said, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, listen, and he will increase in what? Learning. The Lord in the New Testament appealed to his disciples to increase their learning. Like in Matthew chapter 9, when in verse 13 he said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. Remember they did that? If you'd been on that occasion, would you have gone to learn? Matthew chapter 24, with reference to the parable of the fig tree, verse 22, he talked about learning. He said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. So So learning is to ever be on the increase. Maybe we would do well to think about some areas in which we need to increase our learning. How about, first of all, when it comes to learning to fear God? In Deuteronomy 4, verse 10, the Lord said, "Gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me." How long do you want them to do that? "All the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Learn to fear the Lord. Some people haven't learned that yet. Another area in which we need to increase our learning is when it comes to learning God's statutes. That's His word, His commandments. In Psalm 119, verse 71, it said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Most people wouldn't think of affliction as being good. But He said that I might learn Thy statutes. Sometimes affliction affords an occasion for folks to learn God's word. Then again, in verse 73, He said, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments." So we need to learn to fear God and increase learning when it comes to God's statutes. Another area in which we need to increase learning is when it comes to not thinking of men more highly than we should. The church of Corinth needed to increase learning in that field, for 1 Corinthians 4, 6. Paul said, "These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn what you want them to learn, not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Paul taught the importance of learning piety at home in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. As well, when he wrote Titus, he emphasized learning to maintain good works. Titus 3 and verse 14 says, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." How about another area to increase learning? What about when it comes to contentment? Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 11, "I have learned." What you learned, Paul? "In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Lots of things that you and I need to learn. And so we need to have our learning increase. A good study for a person interested in increasing their learning is the Old Testament. As Paul said in Romans 15, 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Remember that? "That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then again, as you think about increase, how about when it comes to joy? Could you stand an increase in your joy, or is your joy such that there's no room for it to increase? I expect it could increase a little bit, if not a whole lot in some places. In Isaiah 29 and verse 19, it is said, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." The Old Testament people were often a people of joy. Look at a sampling of that with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and in verse 40, when they came to David, it said, "They that were nigh, even unto Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, brought bread on asses, and on camels, and on mules, and on oxen, and meat, meal, cakes of figs, and bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel." That's where they came with one heart to make David king. There was joy in Israel. You might underscore that. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 40. Another example of joy among the Old Testament people is in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, in verse 26. Notice this, please. The Bible says, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." That's during the time of Hezekiah, his good reign. Now that Hezekiah prayed in chapter 30 and verse 18, And then in verse 24, he gave 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the prince gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. A great number of priests sanctified themselves. And verse 25 says, they rejoiced and there was great joy. I like to be with people who are joyous, don't you? Some people are a joy to be around. That would have been a joyful occasion, no doubt. And then another example, when you read of joy, is in the book of Ezra, in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Notice the Bible says, when they were praising and giving thanks, when the foundation of the Lord's house had been laid, many of the priests, the Levites, the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. The people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. The Lord has long expected his people to be a people of joy. In Psalm 5 and verse 11, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You love his name? Then Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 32 and verse 11 said, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. When you think about the people of the Lord being joyful, you can't overlook the epistle of joy, the book of Philippians, where Paul said in chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And in chapter 4 and verse 4, he said again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me share with you just briefly some things that will help our joy to increase. First of all, a remembrance of the fact that our name is written in heaven. That ought to bring joy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the Lord said, rejoice because your names are written. Written where? In heaven. Is your name written there? Another thing that will increase joy is when we restore that which is lost. Luke chapter 15 tells about three lost things that were found. And there was joy when that happened. Luke 15, 6 is a good example with reference to the lost sheep. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. If we could bring more people to repentance, it increase our joy. But also, it ought to serve to increase our joy, knowing that our prayers are answered. The Lord doesn't answer all prayers. Some prayers he doesn't hear. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's what Peter penned in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. But in the book of John 16 and verse 24, the Lord said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So, when you think about the prayers that you prayed and God has answered, that ought to help increase your joy. Something else that serves as a joy increaser is when Christ is preached. As the preaching of Christ brings joy. Did that in Acts 8 when Philip went to Samaria. Brought great joy. But then writing the church of Philippi in chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul said, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. How about another joy increaser? And that is when the gospel is obeyed. It brings joy. Acts 15, when there was discussion concerning fleshly circumcision. Verse 3 talks about the conversion of the Gentiles. And that caused, the Bible says, great joy unto all the brethren. When folks are converted from sin to righteousness, it causes our joy to increase. And an increase in joy will cause us to rejoice with the rejoicer. In Romans 12, 15, Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Could you stand to increase your joy? Maybe you could. Some people need to do that really badly because they walk around like they mad at the world. And yet we've got so many reasons to be joyful, spiritually. Let me suggest to you another area in which the Lord makes you to increase. And that is when it comes to your faith. Or is it that your faith is such that it doesn't need any increase? That's the way that it is. God bless you, and we commend you for that. But it's possible, if you're like a lot of people, that maybe you could stand to have your faith increased a little bit. Like the apostles, Luke 17, 5, where they said, Lord, increase our faith. They needed a faith increase. How about us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, Paul said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope. When your faith is increased, then we should be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And so faith needs to increase. Unfortunately, in some people, it seems to be decreasing rather than increasing. In writing the church at Thessalonica, Paul was thankful to God for these brethren. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, he said, because your faith groweth out exceedingly. We need folks like that today, whose faith is growing and growing and growing and growing. You know, there are different degrees of one's personal faith. From no faith to strong faith. I use this as a little checklist on a personal basis. Take inventory of your faith. How would it be described? Would it be no faith, Mark 4:40? Would it be little faith, Matthew 6:30? Would it be great faith, Matthew 8:10? Would it be weak faith, Romans 4:19? Or would it be strong faith, Romans 4:20? Where would you fall on that scale? The only way that our faith can be increased from weak to strong, none to great, is by hearing the Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. So if I want my faith to increase, I need to increase my hearing of the Word of God. What am I hearing? How often am I hearing? Once a week? Twice a week? Three times a week? Daily? How often am I hearing the Word of God? How can I expect my faith to increase if I don't increase my hearing the Word of God? But then another area where the Lord make you to increase. How about from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10 when Paul talks about fruits of righteousness? He said, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's in the context of giving. These brethren, as we talked about this morning, were being stirred and stimulated to share their liberality with those in need. So the more they gave, the more they increased the fruits of their righteousness. Paul used that same concept of fruits in Philippians 4 and thanking the church at Philippi for their fellowship in the gospel. He said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Philippians 4:17. So we might make application of all of that to the Lord make you to increase, make me to increase when it comes to fruits of righteousness. And then finally, as you explore, the Lord make you to increase. It's a good statement, isn't it? Hope that it's so impressed that we'll not forget. In Colossians 1, 9 and 10, about increasing your knowledge, Paul said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Our knowledge of God ought to be increasing. Do you feel like you know more today than you did yesterday, or last week, or last month, or last year? We need to increase our knowledge so as to be filled with all knowledge. Romans 15 and verse 14. As Paul said, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. What was Paul's persuasion? That ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. To be good, that be persuaded in that way concerning brethren, that they are filled with all knowledge. Can that be said of us? It's important because a lack of knowledge can destroy people. It destroyed Israel all, remember? When you read the book of Hosea and you jot down the things that contributed to the downfall of Israel, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Evidently, they didn't get the memo. The Lord make you to increase in knowledge. Because they didn't do it. And they paid a terrible price for it. When we don't know what we should, it's really a shame, isn't it? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 34, when Paul said, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Shame on us. We don't have knowledge. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in knowledge. Only way our knowledge is going to increase is through study. I don't know of any other way it's going to increase, do you? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then to do what we learn. To do what we know. As John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. I believe these six words are worth highlighting, don't you? Worth calling attention to. The Lord make you to increase. That was Paul's prayer for the church in Thessalonica. And that ought to be our prayer as well, for each one of them. The Lord make you to increase your love, your learning, your joy, your faith, the fruits of your righteousness, and your knowledge of God. And you might think of others in which you'd like to increase. Won't you begin increasing spiritually by adding obedience to the things that we've just talked about? It's possible there's someone who desires to become a child of God this afternoon, and we stand ready to baptize you into Christ upon hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of your sins, and confessing your faith. If you've already obeyed the gospel, may God help you to increase. And if you need to make some things right, need prayers of the brethren on your behalf. Not being what you need to be, you need some assistance, need some help. There's some good people here to help us. Maybe like Simon, he's in the dawn of bitterness and dawn of iniquity. He said, pray for me. James said, the effectual, fervent, perfect, righteous man availeth much. People pray for you. Won't you come always stand and sing a song?